Let us turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 1 to verse 4. The topic for this evening is simply one word, focus. You know, our human eye is miraculously, amazingly designed that as we look in front of us, as we survey any scene before us, you know, your eye has this ability to very quickly shift focus such that, you know, the moment you shift your eyes, you look at something different, straight away you lock in on that thing and everything comes into sharp and clear focus. Yes, in a sense, when you look at a very wide and far scene before you, yeah, most things are generally in focus. But perhaps you can, you know, sort of see that discrepancy a bit more when you have something right in front of you, right? For example, if you just put your hand in front of you and you focus on that, and you would sort of realize from the peripheral view around that, that everything else sort of blurs or is not quite in focus. You look at your hand, but then the moment you look ahead, you know, everything else in front of you now clicks into focus. And whatever is immediately in front of you sort of gets blurred out, right? That's your ability to focus. And you can switch very, very quickly. And, you know, camera technology, right? For those of you who have, you know, sort of delved into photography before, you know that this ability to focus quickly and the ability to choose focus is something, you know, highly sought after by all camera manufacturers, right? And you know, the faster the autofocus is and the more intuitive it is, or a higher price you have to pay, right? For the ability to be able to lock in at the right focus and to choose and to know, right? When I, you know, look at this scene, well, these are the subjects that I like to focus on. Focus is important. And I'm sure you would have taken some poorly focused photos before, and you know how it looks like, right? You have a person right in the foreground, but that person's face is blurred out, and you see everything else in the background in sharp focus. That's not a very good picture. But on the other hand, you know, that ability to have one thing in sharp focus and everything else behind that blurred out, it can actually be quite an aesthetically pleasing thing. In fact, in the field of photography, they actually have a term for such an effect. They call that the bokeh, right? The blurred out background, and, you know, blurred out background that is sort of aesthetically pleasing look. And in the past, I mean, in order to get that effect, you have to pay, you know, a lot of money to get a good camera and a good lens with a large aperture to be able to get that effect nicely. And nowadays, cameras, I mean, your phones, right, have that. You see that mode called portrait mode, or I don't know what it's called on the other devices, but you can do that, right? You click on the person's face, portrait mode, that person's face is sharp, everything else in the background is blurred out. That's what focus is, right? When you have something in sharp focus, right, especially if it is something near to you, right in front of you, you're looking at it, you're focusing on that, you're not able to quite focus on other things, right? And we want that. We want that. We want to be able to focus on the things before us, on the right things before us, and to sort of blur out the background. And that's what makes a good photograph, isn't it? At least if we're talking about, you know, portraits of people in a crowded room. Right, you want to zoom in on the right subjects that you want to focus on. And you don't want to be distracted by other things around. We have that in terms of our eyesight. We have that in terms of photography. But do we have that in terms of our life? And that's what we want to talk about this evening. Focus. Focus not so much in the physics of focusing visually. Focus in terms of your life. What have you been focusing on in this past year, the year that is about to come to an end? And what is it that we want to focus on in the year to come? Is it a spiritual focus? Is it one in which we have our eyes and our hearts set and fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we focusing on the right things? Because, and as we mentioned, if we focus on some subject, it is often to the exclusion of everything else, right? You focus on the one thing before you, everything else is sort of blurred out. We don't have that ability like how our eyes are made, in which we can sort of focus on one thing and then quickly focus on something else. No, we know, you know, I'm sure through your life experience, that if you are focused on one thing before you, whether it's your career, whether it's a particular hobby, or whether it's some persons in your life, relationship, whatever it is, it very quickly consumes us, becomes the center of our attention, and everything else sort of falls away, becomes blurred out in the background. We get so easily distracted. We focus on one thing, and everything else in our lives gets a lower priority. If you are focusing on the right things in life, well, that's good. It's wonderful. If our hearts can be fixed and set on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the hymn goes, isn't it? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face. And what happens? The things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Will sort of blur out in the background in the light of his glory and grace. Now, that's good. Now, on the other hand, if we set our focus and our attention on the wrong things, if we are so fixated on whatever it is, something else in your life, now that quickly becomes your idol. And you set your affection on those things. And what happens to God? What happens to spiritual things? Now those things sort of fall out of focus, becomes blur in the background. And we fail to pay attention to that which is most important in our lives. And so, you know, this evening as we gather for this final worship service of the year 2022, we want to ask ourselves, what have we been focusing on? Have we been focusing on the right things? And what is it that we want to focus on? We want to shift that attention, right? And yeah, it may not be as fast as our human eyes. It may not be as fast as a click, you know, in your phone, you know, choosing the focus. But it is something that we want to seek, want to, you know, have our attention fixed upon. And something that, God willing, as we enter now into the year 2023, is something that by the grace of the Lord, he will enable us to have those right focuses. As we look at the passage before us, we see very clearly that, you know, Paul is drawing our attention to, you know, have that right focus, to focus on the right things. There are three simple thoughts that I want to have this evening of really where we ought to be focusing on, or what is it that we should be setting our eyes upon, our spiritual eyes. And God willing, and as we think about these things, that can sort of shift us, push us in the right direction as we enter into this new year. And the first focus that I want to mention is to focus on your life in Christ. Or in other words, look within us. Look within. But what part of within us? You know, Paul begins by saying, if ye be risen with Christ, if ye be risen with Christ. What is he talking about here? You know, the way that this is phrased, it is what we call in the first class conditional clause. Well, it's just a term speaking about the grammar of this sentence structure here, in that it states a statement that assumes to be true. So it's talking about the if here, right? If ye be risen with Christ, and it's not quite an open-ended question as if it is something I'm not sure about. It is more a sort of a rhetorical statement to say that, well, since you've been risen with Christ, it assumes that this condition is true. Okay, so that's the way that this phrase, this sentence is phrased here, at least in the original. And so what we see is that Paul is addressing believers, telling them that, you see, you are risen with Christ. This is how you presently already are. And this is a true statement of every believer. It's causing us to focus our attention on our status as a believer. What does it mean to be risen with Christ? See, it talks about the fact that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens is that we are made alive or quickened. You see that phrase sometimes being used in Ephesians chapter 2? We have been quickened together with Christ. Well, the meaning of the word quickened is made alive. It speaks of how spiritually we were once dead in sins, we were once dead in our trespasses. But then when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens is that we were, as it were, risen together with him. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, we were made alive, no longer dead in our sins, in our trespasses. Now we have a new life in Christ. And that's what Paul was talking about in the passage we read just now in Romans chapter 6. Right? Talking about how the fact that we are, like, as it were, risen together with Christ. Our old man, that old nature of sin, was crucified together with him, made dead, killed. But then what happens is that we are now free from sin and we are raised from the dead. Sin no longer has dominion over us. We can now walk in the newness of life. So Paul often uses this sort of analogy to talk about your status as a believer. That you are no longer that old person, dead in trespasses and sins. No, you are now made alive. That is what Christ has done for us. And so Paul begins, this whole section here saying that, now, think about that. Realize that this is your present reality. That sin nature is dead. It's gone. And it shall no longer be entertained. We must not yield ourselves any longer. That means we don't give in to that sin that perhaps we used to in the past when we didn't know better. No longer yield yourselves as instruments to unrighteousness, to sin. He says you yield yourselves to Christ. And that's the life of every believer. And that's something that we have to be very mindful of. That's something that we need to focus on. That's the first thing he calls us to think about. Do you realize? Do you realize what has already happened to you? That you are no longer a slave to sin. You have now the ability to obey. You have now the ability to keep all of the Ten Commandments. You can. Yes, maybe there are times in which we stumble and we slip here and there. But by and large, we can obey the Lord. Why? Because we have been saved. We have been washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Word of God before us. We have the ability to obey. That is something that we have to realize. Because if we don't focus on this thought, we can so easily succumb to sin. We forget that we are a child of God. We forget that that old man is dead. We forget that we are actually supposed to be walking in the newness of life. We forget all these things. And we so easily give in to all the temptations around us. We get so easily distracted by the things of the world. But the present reality that all believers are already in is that presently we are spiritually risen together with Christ. No longer dead in sin. We have been raised together to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And so that is the new purpose, the new focus that the life of every believer ought to have. We live in him, we live for him. And continuing on that thought, we sort of want to skip ahead to verse 3 first, right? Where Paul sort of revisits that idea. And that was, he uses this as a further argument to state his cause. Right, when he calls us to set our affection on things above and not on things beneath. He says, remember, because ye are dead. Now, what does that mean? He says in verse 3, right? Ye are dead. Okay. And then he says, your life is hid with Christ in God. So what does he mean here? You see, he's continuing on the thought that he began at the beginning of verse 1. if he be risen with Christ. Okay, so that has happened. But at the same time, he says something is dead and something is alive. What is that? Well, it goes back to the passage that we read in Romans chapter 6 just now. What part of us died? Well, the part that was the sin nature within us, that old man within us, as how he'll describe it further down here in chapter 3 of Colossians. That old man, that sin nature, the part of us that had no choice but to sin, under the bondage of sin, that part of you is gone, Paul argues. He says, you see, that is no longer who you are. You are a new person. You are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But is there a part of us that wants to return? Yes, yeah, sometimes there is. Sadly so. Because there is still temptation that abound. And there is still a part of us that wants to give in, but we don't have to any longer. Because ye are dead. That part of you is dead. Paul is saying there. And you, right, your life, there is that new life you have, which is hid with Christ in God. So you see, what happens to you when you are born again, when you become a Christian? You become now as one with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now entering into this relationship, or what we sometimes call a union with him, where it says now that your life is hid with Christ. As it were, you are now under the shadow of his protection. But not just that. You are now abiding in him. You are now remaining in him. And he says, this is the new life that you have. Do you realize that? And Paul says, you see, this is something that we have to think about. This is something that we have to focus our hearts and our minds and our attentions towards. He said, oh, this is too vague, too, you know, sort of, you know, hard to comprehend. But this is what theology is talking about. This is what Paul actually speaks of again and again and again. In many of his writings, the fact that you are now in Christ Jesus, Christ is in you. And you know, the more you ponder and the more you meditate about this new dynamic, this new relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, this focus can actually go a long way in helping us to live that right life, that to live, you know, that blessed life, understanding or realizing the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ right now, right now. Because what the Bible tells us is that now that you are saved, your life is, as it were, shrouded, secure in the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means here. It says your life is hid. Your life is hid. You know, hid doesn't mean that, you know, you play hide and seek and you're hidden and you can't be found, right? That's not that idea of hiding that we want to talk about. Is more that you are under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gathers you unto himself. And you know, he surrounds you. And so while on the outside, there doesn't seem to be any physical change that happens to us, right? Well, this whole dead and being alive thing is not talking about any physical transformation that has happened, but it speaks of a massive spiritual change that has already happened in your life. Is that something that you know about? Is that something that you experience? And that reality is something that we have to be mindful of, right? That is, you look at your life, you look at your surroundings, you look at the things that you seek after, the things that you do, the priorities that now you have, the worldview that you have as you face the world around you. And all these things change. Why? Because ye are dead. Ye are dead. And your life is now hid in Christ Jesus with God. That extreme transformation actually has already happened in you. Do you realize that? You see, if every believer understood and grasped all these things, you know, we would be living an extremely, you know, different lives. It ought to be a radical shift, a radical change. Though it is not something that we can sort of continue on in the world and pretend like we are in the world. No, you realize that you are now completely different. My life is not mine to live. My life is no longer of the world. My life is now in Christ Jesus, in God. And that perfect Son of God, that most holy, righteous, all good, all merciful, loving, kind God, has brought us unto himself, shrouded us in his protection. And he says, you are mine. You are my sons. You are my daughters. And I am in you and you are in me. And all the merits, all the benefits, all the goodness of Christ, it is now ours to have. Do we realize that? That's the first thing that Paul says, focus upon. Focus upon. Realize how different you are. Realize that you have been transformed by the grace of God, made alive in Christ Jesus. Your life is hid in him. How will you then live? How will you then live? So the first thing that we need to focus on is to focus on your new life in Christ, right? Look within and remember this transformation that has already happened. We are now made alive in Christ. We are now ought to walk in the newness of life, no longer focusing on that old life and your old desires. No, you seek a new life, new desires, no longer walking in the flesh, now walking and the Spirit. The second focus we want to have is now to focus on things above. Or simply put, look up. Right? You focus firstly on your new life in Christ. You look within yourself. And then you focus on things above. You look up. Now, what is that talking about? You see that in the second half of verse 1. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, where is above? What is this up place that we are supposed to look at? Now, oftentimes, that's how the Bible refers to heaven. Heaven is that which is above, right? The earth and things beneath. Well, these are earthly things. These are the things that are temporal. These are the physical things. But when we are called to look up, when we are called to focus and seek things which are above, what is that? Well, that is where Christ is. And we know that is where heaven is presently, right now. Where God is. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, now that is where your affections ought to be. Has that been your focus? And is there where you want to be your focus to be upon? And so it tells us, right? Since you are risen with Christ, since you are a believer, now you ought to actively seek those things which are above. Okay? And so it speaks of an active seeking, a continual seeking, an important seeking that we must actively do. And this is something that we must focus our energies and our efforts upon. It's not something that, you know, we said of can passively sit and wait to happen. But we know our natural tendency, right? That yes, although we are born again, although we are saved, there are many times in which we would lapse into our old ways. And if we do not think about it, right, we default to just, well, seeking after our own pleasures, perhaps. We seek after our laziness, our entertainments, fulfilling our pride. We just give in to our feelings and our emotions, and we allow those things to guide us, right? Or we seek after earthly ambitions, things beneath, things of the earth. And I'm sure we have experienced that. Maybe we've experienced that in the year that is about to close. Where you know, if you just look back at the months that have passed, What were the things that you were actively seeking after, that you put in the most effort to achieve and to attain? Was it your careers? Was it maybe certain hobbies that you found yourself engaged in? Or maybe pursuing after certain relationships? What was it? You see, when we focus our attention on these things, well, it becomes the things that you are now seeking after. And as we mentioned earlier, when you focus on those things, well, the other things in your life get pushed to a background, right? And when that happens, well, you know that your priorities are now out of focus, out of wrong. So Paul draws us to himself and he says, please, be actively seeking after the right things, the things which are above. Seek after heavenly things. Seek after the things that you know God wants you to seek after, spiritual things, the words of eternal life, the words which are forever sealed and kept in heaven, the words which you know will continue on for eternity, God's words. Seek after a prayer life in which you are drawn into communion with Christ, Christ who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Seek after a heavenly witness, to witness of your focus on the things above, showing the people around you that while you are physically here on earth, your heart is on things above. Focus on heavenly things. Is that what you are seeking for? You know, this really describes your ambitions, right? All of us have aspirations, hopes, dreams, ambitions. And whatever it is that you want, now you will put effort to seek after that, right? I mean, that's natural. Whether it is as a student, a good grades, a scholarship, whether it is a career that you are seeking crafting, a family that you are seeking to build. You know, these are the things that you would have an ambition of, you have plans, and you focus on them. And because of that, you will actively go out of your way to seek after them. That's a natural thing. And so what we have to do is to have a right focus in our lives. Because if we can set our affection on things above and not on the things of the earth, then yes, naturally, if your focus is in the right place, then your actions will follow. You'll begin to live a life going towards that. All right. And you know, we talk, you know, sometimes you read these articles or self-help books. It talks about, you know, the habits, the effective habits of very successful people, right? It talks about how they have so fine-tuned their life towards seeking after their goals. This is, well, I want to retire before I hit 30 or retire before 40, right? I want to create a successful business. Oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. And so, you know, if you have that ambition, then your life will be tuned toward that. And some of these people are very driven, very motivated. Whether it is that they want to craft a successful business, or whether it is perhaps they're an athlete, you know, seeking to win whatever championship or trophy. You know, they will fine-tune their lives to make sure that it is all geared towards, well, seeking that goal. Well, because they have their heart set on that. And so they say, well, I want to cut out everything unnecessary in my life. I don't want to waste any of the time that I have. I wake up at 5. I wake up at 6. I will do this. I will do that every single day. These are my habits. These are the things that I build into my life as a routine. I am constantly seeking to improve myself. And so some of these people, they say, oh, you know, every year I read 20, 50 books. Right, I don't waste a moment. When I'm on the go, I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to you know, things. I'm learning. I'm improving myself. I don't waste time watching television or seeking after these entertainments. No, and I'm driven. And these are what highly successful people would say. Right? Or have a routine. Don't waste your time on frivolous things that don't matter. Athletes will do the same. Right, to be very strict with their routines, with their diet, with their sleeping habits, everything. all finely tuned to achieve their goals, their objective. Why? Because they are seeking something. For them, their affection, their hearts are fixed on things of the earth. And they will seek that, right? And everything in their life will be geared towards that. Now, how about for us? Paul says, if ye be risen with Christ, if you know who you are, you look within and you know, I am not somebody of the earth. I am of God. I am of heaven. And that is where I will end up in eternity. And Paul, in a way, he's asking, why? Why are you setting your affection on things above? Or rather, he's saying, now please stop focusing on things of the earth and actively seek after things which are above. Make sure that your affections are placed on things above and not on things of the earth. Is that how our life has been? Is that how we have spent the past 365 days of the year 2022? Have we had our affections on things of this earth? And have we been so actively seeking after these things that we have forgotten about God? Or God has become just something in the background, something that we sort of pay lip service to. We know we should come to church and we know we should, yeah, maybe occasionally pray or read the Bible, but that has not been your focus at all. We have to be honest with ourselves. And we have to ask, how much of the year have we actually spent seeking after things above, seeking after the things of God? How much of the year have we had our attention and our affection set on things of this earth, pursuing vainly after them? As Solomon would say, vanity of vanity. He looked back at his life and he said, What a waste. What a waste. Why? Because I have been looking at things under the sun. That's the way that he's phrased it, right? And Paul's way of phrasing is things on the earth, things under the sun, things on the earth. Solomon looked at his life and he says, yes, he accomplished a lot, but really, what does he have to show? He says, these are all just vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It was a vexation of spirit. And as we look back at the year 2022, what can we say about it? Is it also vanity and vexation of spirit? Or is it that we have been drawn to greater heights? We have drawn closer to the Lord. That you have grown spiritually. You have actively been seeking after the things of God. You have been finding delight in His Word. You have been having blessed communion with Him in your prayer life. You have been pursuing after the things of God, serving Him, witnessing for Him. And what a joy, what a blessing and a delight it will be if we can say that. If we can now look back at the year past and give God thanks and give Him glory and say, what a wonderful year it has been as I sought the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that has not been the case for you, it's not too late. We are entering now into a new year. Starting from, well, not even tomorrow, tonight, right now. Let us all purpose in our hearts to say that, yes, I no longer want to set my affection on things of this earth. And yes, there are things that will tear, draw our attention and try to tear us away from heavenly desires and heavenly thoughts and heavenly things. Yes, there are real, genuine concerns that we have. But the Bible tells us simply that if our minds are set on things above, if we understand that we are risen with Christ, we know that we are dead. Our old man is dead. And our life is hid in Christ Jesus, then really there is nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have to worry about things of this earth. The Lord has promised that I shall not want. Instead, if I fix my attention and my focus, my affection on things above, well, the Lord will also grant you the faith to understand that He will provide, He will take care of you. But our focus and our attention has to be on the right things in the right places. And then finally, the thought comes and he says, now, also realize when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. What is it telling us to do here? It's telling us that now we must look ahead. And that's the third focus that we have, to focus on eternity. Now, in a way, it's similar to focusing on things above, right? In that even right now, our affections are considering where God is and considering spiritual things. But to sort of further reinforce that thought, he says, you look ahead. You look ahead to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. And you look ahead to think about what will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Because, you know, when you think about, when we talk about salvation, you know, salvation, in a sense, chronologically speaking, there are two parts, right, of being saved. Right now, we are saved already. Right? But there are certain things that have not happened yet. We are saved already, yes. In the sight of God, our sins have been washed and cleansed. We are justified. Our sins have been washed and cleansed. It is, as it were, we are pure and white and holy in the sight of God. But we also know that we are still in this mortal body. We are still prone to sin. We still fall into temptation. Right? That is the old man. That is the present life that we have in this old body, in this old physical body. But there comes a part of our salvation which will happen either at the rapture when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, or after our death and then when we are resurrected. It is when the fullness of salvation will come, in that the salvation will be brought to completion. And that is when, as the Bible here says, we shall appear with him in glory. It talks about your future state, where you are saved, fully saved, right? Where you are now given that glorified body, this old mortal body is gone, and you are now in eternity with God in that perfect, sinless state. And that is something that we look forward to. And something that, yes, we can also presently right now focus our thoughts upon. And that's why the third thought is that we focus on eternity. We look ahead. And it's all connected, right? Because, you know, Paul is saying, you see, right now your life, right, as it were, is here physically. But spiritually, yes, you are in communion, in relationship with Christ. You are hid in Christ. But then when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then you will be transformed and you will appear with him in glory in that glorified state as well. So he says, look forward to that. Look forward with anticipation. Look forward with excitement. And you know, see, when our thoughts are focused on those things, then yes, you know, our lives will be different also. Our affections will be different. Our priorities will be different. Because you know that the things of this earth, they are all temporal. That one day all these things will really not matter at all. It will be gone. The whole earth will be burned up. And what remains? What remains is those things which are of gold, precious stones, and not wood, hay, and stubble. Your earthly things, those will be burned up, consumed, gone. But the things that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, those things will remain. Those things you can carry with you through to eternity. The life that you live for the Lord, the affections of heavenly things that you had. He says, you look ahead. Look ahead. Look forward. Set your affections on heavenly things. So perhaps the thought that we want to close with is, do you really, truly look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there something that you are waiting with great anticipation, counting down to the time in which you can finally be with the Lord and you can have that eternal life in glory? You know, towards the end of the year, a lot of us plan holidays, vacations, right? We book tickets. And we know, okay, in a few weeks' time, a few days' time, I'm going somewhere. I'm going overseas. I'm going to this and that place. And you make all these plans. And you start to look it up. Oh, what is this destination going to be like? Right? Wow, beautiful. You look at some pictures of the scenery. You look up the places that you're going to eat at. Oh, you say, wow, it's so exciting. I can't wait. There's this anticipation. Why? Because in your mind, that is somewhere better that you want to be. Right? Better maybe because it's a nicer place, or maybe it's just that you're taking a break off from your normal routines. It's a vacation. And so you're looking forward to that. And you know, as you count down the days towards that, or you're in anticipation for that, and you start to make plans, preparations toward this thing that you are anticipating. And that's what happens when you have your focus on things ahead, right? You're looking ahead, you're looking towards something that is yet to come. And while that may be exciting, a lot of times we go on the holiday, we come back and it's over. But what we have awaiting for us is something eternal. That when Christ, who is your life, He is the giver of life, He is the one who gave you that life, the source of our life, the savior of our life. When He comes, you shall appear with Him in glory as well. And you shall be like Him because you shall see Him as He is. As you look forward to that, as you have that focus on eternity, as you look ahead to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, will that not change the way that we live right now? It will help us to set our affections no longer on the things of this earth, but on the things of eternity. Will that be our focus as we move into the year 2023? We focus on our life in Christ. We focus on things above. And we focus on eternity. So let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this evening. And Lord, may You attune our hearts unto Thee. Help us, as we see written in Thy word, to set not our affections on things of this earth, but we set our affections on things above. Of things of eternity, looking forward to the blessed hope, that wonderful day where the Lord Jesus Christ will return and we will be with Him in glory. So we pray that Thou guide us, bless us, draw us nigh unto Thyself. And in the times in which we have gone astray, we have drifted from Thee, may You bring us nigh back unto Thyself. And may next year be a better year ahead. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.